Let's do it.
Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky.
It's the Valentine Cast with your interviewing couple, Jay and Renee Valentine.
Today is August 14th, 2013.
And this is episode 121.
And welcome to another show.
Yeah, it's a very special show.
Yeah. Because we have a wonderful guest.
We
have a special techie guest, Mr. Tom Merritt.
Hey, yeah. How's it going, guys?
Hi, Tom. It's going great. Just so of those of you who don't know Tom, and if you don't, shame on you. Tom has done a variety of shows, and he really doesn't need introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tom has worked for CNET and was a co-host of The Late Buzz Out Loud with Molly Wood. He is now the regular host of Tech News Today with Sarah Lane, Ayaz Akhtar, and Jason Howell. I hope I got that right.
You got it.
Yes. And he also is the host of many other podcasts, including one of my favorites, Sword and Laser. Love it. He lives in California with his lovely wife, Eileen Rivera, and their adorable dogs, Django and Sawyer. So thank you so much for being on the show, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, so we've seen Tom off and on since we've been involved in Frog Pants, but you've probably seen him before
Frog Pants,
right?
Oh, yeah. It goes back to when I first started listening to ELR, back in 2005.
That's Frog Pants. I still consider that Frog Pants, even though whatever.
Yeah, that's proto Frog Pants.
Proto. Oh, yeah. When it was Andrew and Scott, Ryan and Obsidian, I went back and listened to, because today was just a throwback day. I went back and listened to one of the episodes and I was like, oh man, it sounded like Obsidian was in a closet. It was great. So it was like 2005, 2006, because I had went to Lotus Notes conference. I was a domino administrator. I started one as 97, and then 2007 is when we moved to Exchange. So I was doing it for 10 years, and I went to a conference and I happened to score an iPod. And I was like, what can I do with this? And then there was a little category on this iPod Nano that said podcast. And I was like, what is that? And then that's where it all started. It started with ELR. And then, of course, went through iTunes and started going through some of the top podcasts and went to tech. And, of course, Buzz Out Loud was there.
Those were the days, man. No competition. It was easy to get to the top of the charts.
Definitely it was.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like, hey, we're the only ones out here. Top dogs.
And it was it was really nice because it was kind of like radio how I want it. Talk radio. I wanted to hear, I'm in tech. I want to hear tech. Or I want to hear geeky stuff.
It took me a while to get into it, into podcasts.
Yeah.
I had iTunes, and I was like, none of these shows really, float my boat. And then the first one was The Instance for me, because, WoW was great.
And so you didn't start out as a podcaster. I mean, you were actually, from what I understand, a DJ at one point, correct?
Yeah, that was my first job. Yesterday, August 13th, was the anniversary of the first time Adam Curry posted daily source code to his RSS feed,
right,
which is sort of inaugurated podcasting as we know it. There's lots of controversy over who invented what, but that really was the thing that kicked it off. So it's like podcasting is 9 years old now.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy to think about how far it's come since then. But yeah, it's only 9 years old. I've been working longer than 9 years.
Right.
And I started in, and when I was 16 years old, I started as a DJ at WGEL, the hometown radio station. It was a country station during the day and metal at night.
Awesome.
I think I remember you saying that, but for some reason I wanted to think of you as a wooka 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 type DJ. That would have been great.
I DJed a little dance. I did some DJing of dances my first year in college. I worked for this guy But it still wasn't like scratching and mixing or anything. That would have been awesome. It was just moving. So it was like dance music.
It wasn't Eric Van Skyhawk type stuff, was it?
No. I was not Hakuto level by leaps or bounds.
Yeah. And so you're also a native. Your home is Illinois. So are you like Chicago strong? Because we have a listener out here, Mo Halen. You probably met him at a Nerdtacular. But he is born and bred Chicago. He lives in California now, but Chicago is the place.
If you talk bad about Chicago or the Bears, sports or the Bears.
The Bears.
I grew up hating Chicago because I was from Southern Illinois. I was 45 miles from the Mississippi River in downtown St. Louis. I grew up a Cardinals fan, football and baseball before the Cardinal football team left. A Blues fan. I have absolutely no love for the Chicago Cubs. Bears are fine. I don't mind them.
That is awesome. I didn't look to see exactly where your hometown was, but that is awesome.
It happens all the time. People are like, oh, you're from Illinois. You must love Chicago. That's perfectly reasonable reaction, right?
Right.
Because they think that that's the most famous place in Illinois. It's the dominant place. Most of the people
live
in Chicago.
East St. Louis is pretty famous.
East St. Louis is very famous for all the wrong reasons. Famous for us growing up because you could buy beer without an ID.
Wow. There are plenty of other places you can still do that.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome.
Especially when the state police, because the city went bankrupt and they couldn't pay the police force anymore. So the state police became the police force. And they were like, they were way too busy with other things.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So I'm just going to take a moment real quick and say hello to our chat room. What is going on, everybody?
Oh, crap. My stuff always freezes, but that's okay. I can see people.
You can see people.
I want to say hi. Oh, hi to Jeff Sire is here from the Great North. Hi, Jeff. What?
How's you going to give Jeff crap?
No.
You know Bronco.
You
remember
Bronco. You always give Jeff crap. Yep. Bronco.
What's going on, Bronco?
Hando. Hi, Hando. We have Aaron is in the house. #3Classy. Diddy. Hi, Diddy. Moohagan. Pompous Jack, welcome. Punk Gopher. Oh, our popcorn's almost up, Punk. Almost. Salmonatrix, Udella, and Zobby.
Hey,
hi,
everybody.
Good crew in there.
They are dedicated. Yeah. They are so awesome. I love them. Yeah. I love those peeps.
Yep, definitely, definitely. And that's just one of the things that, you know, I absolutely enjoy about podcasting is the community. You know, because I actually been a part of the community that's a fan of a podcast, and then also having listeners that I hate to call them fans because
they're,
I feel like they're family.
No, yeah, they aren't fans. Fans are people you feel like you can't get close to, you know.
Family. Thank you, Tom. That's family out there.
And it's awesome that we've gotten to meet a lot of them, and I consider some of my best friends, and it's great. I love it.
Right.
I first got the feel for that community in the chat room at ZDTV when I first started working there and realized how awesome it can be to be able to interact with the people. And, yeah, okay, there's some bad apples every once in a while, but by and large, people are pretty great. And it's fun to talk with them and get enthusiastic about the same things. And so I never thought I would get that again when Tech TV went away. And when I moved to CNET and started doing Buzz Out Loud and we started to get that kind of community on our forums and our email, I was like, we got to get a chat room together. And I think it was PB30 up in Minneapolis who made our first IRC chat room for us.
Right.
I was just like, yes, it's about time that we got back to that feel.
It's amazing. It's great. And we aren't big enough yet for bad apples. Jeff said no bad apples in this room.
Good.
And it's true. We aren't big enough. And because every time you get to a certain level, there always comes some hater out of nowhere that wants to talk crap. Scott has plenty of them now because he's way big enough to have a ton of them. Mm-hmm. But he's learned to just let it roll off his back and he just laughs about it. And goes on.
And I know you had your bout of haters. I'm pretty sure. I would think. Well,
yeah. You know, it's funny. Guys don't get it as badly as women. So I feel pretty lucky because I've seen some of the things that Molly Wood, Sarah Lane, Veronica Belmont have to go through with people. And it's just vicious sometimes. And so I Yeah, I've definitely got some people who've said nasty things about me here and there, but it's not that often.
Right.
Thanks.
And so I guess for those that may not know you, Tom, I guess can you tell them a little bit about Tech News Today and
sure.
What you do
yeah.
There?
Well, but I mean, you mentioned Buzz Out Loud. Buzz Out Loud started as a news podcast to kind of discuss tech news and evolved into a daily half hour, 45 minute news podcast. When I left CNET to go to Twit, Leo wanted me to do that. He's like, I want you to do a daily news podcast for me.
Right.
So I created Tech News Today as a kind of, with Buzz Out Loud as the heritage, because Buzz Out Loud was still going at that time.
Oh, yeah.
So we did Tech News Today in the afternoon. Buzz Out Loud was in the morning. And I was like, we're going to be the afternoon news to their morning news. Like, we should be able to do this so that everybody can enjoy both. Mm-hmm. And eventually Buzz Out Loud did get canceled by CNET, which happens. And right. we moved to the morning. And now we've tried to become the premier technology news podcast. If you listen to us, even just the first part of the show, you'll get a summary of everything that you need to know about technology news that has happened up to the point that we record that show. And then we have discussion segments after those top 10 stories that try to give you some context, some insight. We have smart guests from mostly reporters who cover the space intently to come up and share insights about why things are the way they are. And we do some emails and some voice calls, and we have a chat room going, and we do a little feedback section at the end of the show.
Right.
And which we just try to keep people up to date on tech news. And I loved doing Buzz Out Loud. I love doing Tech News Today. It's the favorite thing that I do because I just get into it. I wake up at 6 a.m. every morning. I don't even like get out of bed. I just grab my iPad and start looking at my RSS feeds.
Right. And it just takes me back to, just listening to Buzz Out Loud with you, Veronica and Molly. And it was just like, oh man, this is so awesome. You know, getting this tech news every day. And then just these three folks that were just seemed to me approachable. And then when Scott created Nerdtacular, you know, for us to go to Utah. And I remember the first time going out there and meeting you, Veronica, and Eileen. And I was just like, you know,
I don't even think I met you. I probably just stayed back because I was so nervous to meet everybody.
Right.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
I feel like I've known you for years, though. Like, I remember meeting you.
Yeah.
Right.
Was it at the 2000? Was it the one in the theater?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. That's the first one. That was our first time there.
Yeah. It wasn't hard to forget us. It's not like we blended in with the
crowd.
I mean, well, it was smaller than too, because it was just a theater full of people.
Yeah,
right.
And plus,
it's still got that community feel, but it's getting bigger now. Like there were, like, I barely saw Dills at this last one.
Yeah, same.
To say hi and catch up a little bit.
That's why it needs to be three.
But yeah,
days.
That theater one, it was like we all watched the movie and then we came out in that little room and Scott gave away stuff, and that was really fun.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It was great.
And it's my son Brian. I was like, oh, it's Brian.
Oh my God. It is so funny that I felt that way. Now it's like,
the first time I met Scott in person.
Really?
That was amazing. Yeah.
Oh, because and the big joke was we were trying to get, was that the same one we were trying to get Molly out to, or was it the following one? Molly Wood.
It was the one, right? Because that one happened right after I left, because they were back in, they were in May then. It was like right after I left CNET, but before I had started at Twit.
Right. And we're all like, let's get Molly out there. And Molly did the diss on Buzz Out Loud about, what's a Nerdtacular?
I forgot about that.
Maybe she'll come out to the
Ice Warm remembers.
Of course, Ice Warm remembers.
You know,
I
think she usually gets crap for that every.
Oh yeah,
every
Ice
summer.
Warm always brings it up. Yeah. That's so funny.
It's so
does he?
Yeah.
And it's like I would feel my Buzz Out Loud fanboy, my inner fanboy would be complete when I meet Molly Wood. You know, because I remember the first time she tweeted me back before, and I was like, you know. So.
I would love to meet her. There aren't a ton of women in the industry, so it's kind of cool when I get to meet them. Like, I would love to meet Alicia Day. Love to meet her.
Yeah.
I met Veronica Belmont. She's super nice.
Renee was nervous about that.
Of course.
I kind of pushed her out there.
I'm
I was like, this is my wife, Renee, Veronica.
It's fun for us too. And I think that's what's cool about podcasting is it's a two-way street too.
Yeah.
Because if you start to get to know somebody on Twitter or through the chat room and you know that handle, mm-hmm. and then you go up and they introduce themselves, and most of the time it goes like, "Hi, I'm Bob." And you're like, "Oh, hey Bob, it's, you know, nice to meet you." And then they're like, "I'm actually like Mookow 35. "Oh my God, you're Mookow 35. You get really excited because this is someone you've been interacting with and talking with. It's the same thing as any kind of celebrity where it's like, I've interacted with you, I know who you are, but we've never met. We never shared the same space before. It's really fun.
Yeah, and I try to get people to go up and talk to people that they're scared to talk to. Like, I'm friends with Scott now, and people don't want to talk to Scott because they're nervous.
He's scary, man. He's so tall.
Apparently, he's a scary, scary dude. I'm like, just talk to him. He's super nice, and he'll act like you're his best friend.
Right.
So, and that's what I love about everybody. Everybody's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, nobody turns their nose up to it, at anybody, and it's great.
I know. I felt really bad because this one guy, I was on his podcast earlier this year, and he's like, "You know, you blew me off at Dragon Con last year." I was like, "What?" And apparently I was in the middle of trying to transfer the Sword and Laser show off my laptop. Oh, wait, off a camera to the laptop.
Right.
And he came up and looked at me, and I looked right at him and then just walked out of the room. Like, "Oh, dude, you should have said something. I'm so, like, if he would have said, 'Hey, Tom,' I would have totally stopped."
Right.
I might have even had to be apologetic and say, "Oh, I'm really in a real hurry. I wish I could talk some more."
Right.
But he didn't say anything to me. I felt really bad about that. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I walked right past you. I'm really sorry.
And it's funny. It's funny when you say that, because my subject to the email to Tom was like, "Hey, Tom, it's JJ Valentine, a.k.a. Cowboy."
So it's like, some people only know me as Ice Flow. Well, they don't even know me as
Right. Ice. You know, I do that to Scott. I still do that to Scott sometimes.
You do.
When I send an email, I'm like,
"It's
I Cowboy."
I stopped doing it. I'm like, "Look, y'all should know me by now. All right. Valentine should just set it all off, and then you should know."
Before Tank Girl was one like that, where she came up and introduced herself. And I'm like, and then she's like, "Before Tank Girl." I'm like, "Oh my God, it's Before Tank Girl."
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And also, Tom, you like you said, you guys do come down to Dragon Con, which we're, you know, this will be our third or fourth year there.
Oh, cool.
And,
good.
And I'm excited about that. And last year, you all had one of my favorite authors of all time.
He talks about this all the time still.
Mr. Salvatore.
He's great.
He is.
In fact, we're setting up an interview for the premiere of Sundering when it comes out.
Yeah.
I think it actually just came out, but it's the third only author we've ever interviewed three times. We're going to definitely interview him again.
Oh,
it's just so fun to talk to him.
He is. And he's so, I didn't get a chance to ask my questions at the panel because I waited too long because I was too nervous.
But then we cut off.
Yeah. But after the panel, he was out there with his wife, and I actually went up to him, shook his hand, and talked to him, and he wasn't like, "Oh, you know, get away from me," or whatever.
"I'm Bob Salvatore."
Yeah.
Be gone.
Yeah. And that was also the same time because, I mean, I was in Nebraska. I had got I was reading his books because I was riding the bus a lot, you know, back and forth from work. And when I wasn't listening to podcasts, I was reading his books from the library and stuff. And it was just,
physical books.
Yep. And then not only that, but this year, you and Veronica are going to be interviewing Jim Butcher.
I know, and that's one of Veronica's idols, too.
That is.
Which we've interviewed him once on the video show, but we've never interviewed him in person. That's going to be fun.
Right. So that's exciting. And for those that don't know, this is the podcast called Sword and Laser that Tom and Veronica do together. And it started back in 2010, is that correct?
2008.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Because it might have been 07. I always forget, but I think it's 8.
Yeah, it's 2008.
We started it as a Ning group book club and then started doing podcasts a little bit after that.
Okay. And do you remember your first, the first four episodes you guys did? It was a four-parter.
Yeah. Was it Ender's Game?
Nah, it was a Neuromancer.
Oh, it was Neuromancer.
Yeah.
I seen? I don't think I read that.
I always forget the order of the early ones because we did American Gods, we did Golden Compass, Neuromancer, Childhood's End, but I can't remember what the order of them. But yeah, we would do it where we would we'd read part of the book and then we'd do an episode recapping that part. I still wonder if maybe we shouldn't go back to that sometimes because now it gets to be a little bit where everybody in the chat room reads ahead. or Goodreads. Mm-hmm. We have a Goodreads forum. They all read ahead. They're done with the book practically by the day we kick it off on the podcast.
That would be Renee.
And then we have to give other people a chance to catch up. But
yeah, that would be Renee, because Renee can read.
Well, I'll talk about this more in the media section, okay. but yeah, I am the reader. I've been reading since I was little. It's ingrained in me. We would take 5 books on vacation. I would read them before we even get there. I'm a huge reader.
I wish I could read that fast.
Tom, it is crazy.
Jay will look at me in awe, and it makes me feel like a freak the way he looks at me when I'm reading.
Like this past, so we went on vacation. She finished reading the book on it was a Saturday. Saturday night, she starts Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first one.
Sure.
She finishes before our show on Monday.
I mean, it was, but that part is short. There's sometimes,
and that is shorter and easier read. You're right.
Yeah, it's
now
it's
I feel dumb.
Crazy fast.
No, but
I'm a slow reader.
No. It's.
Me too, man.
I've always read a little fast, and I didn't think I was different until we started reading a book together. Like
she was reading two other books while she was waiting for me to catch up.
I was like, okay, I've been done with this chapter for a while. I'll just start reading this other book while
I read a lot. It's not like I don't spend a lot of time reading. I read really slowly.
Yeah, it's like I read every word, and I go back and read and make sure I understand. And it's kind of like. And then, especially if they're trying to describe a whole lot, I get absorbed into that.
You got to learn. There's some things you don't need to.
Yeah, she's
take
good
in
at
every single word and absorb every single word. Because
yeah,
guess
at,
what? You know, your brain will do that for you.
Right.
You got to let your brain do the work. Hmm. Okay, I sound really weird just talking about.
I'm going to go to Renee's speed reading classes.
I'm telling
you,
she needs to do
the work. Gotcha.
Anyway, let's talk about some tech, Jay.
All right.
Do it.
Let's get to it.
Tech technology.
All right. So this is part of the tech. You know that voice.
Yeah. So I want to talk about, this has been my favorite subject, and I'm so close. I want to talk about cord cutting. I know you and Nicole talked about it a little bit on the last frame rate.
Yep.
And it really has me, you know, right on the cusp. I want to do it so bad.
And what's frame rate?
Frame rate is a wonderful show. Where I don't know, talk about media, and
they talk about cutting the cord.
Cutting the cord.
Yeah.
That was, yes. And
about streaming media.
It's about streaming media, and I really want to cut the cord. So we have, now it's Time Warner.
Time Warner. Insight was
it changed
bought,
to,
was
from
bought
Insight
by Time
to Dom,
Warner.
Do you guys have CBS right now? Or
yes.
We do. We do
we
have
are
CBS.
Not involved.
You're not one of the blocked markets.
I heard you all talk about that. I was like, oh,
well,
blackout.
Well, the reason being is because I think Insight, because Insight already made their deals with our local stations.
Yeah, so your station isn't owned and operated by CBS.
But we were involved in a blackout, was it last year?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, with Fox.
Fox was gone for like, what, 3 weeks?
It was 3 weeks.
No Fox.
It was horrible.
And so that was a little.
It was like, we're missing New Girl.
New Girl.
Oh, right. Yeah, there was a DirecTV blackout of one of the channels. I think it might have been Fox.
AMC?
It was AMC.
It was AMC. Oh. Right?
It was AMC
no, last year.
DirecTV was with Dish.
Oh, that was Dish. So,
yeah, oh, okay.
I can't remember what the DirecTV one. It actually didn't last that long.
Oh, okay.
Blackouts
it was only a couple
horrible.
Days, but we didn't even run
See,
into it.
That like makes me want to cut the cord so I don't have that, you know. I don't just get it jerked right out of my arm. The little heroin needle just jerked out. You know, I get to come down slowly.
Right.
So we have HBO. That keeps us from cutting the cord, because as soon as they allow us to subscribe without getting the whole package, I'm so there.
Right.
And then my silly shows, I call them silly shows, like Project Runway, America's Next Top Model, you know, the kind of shows. I feel like I could let them go, but I had to make the decision to chop it off.
Can you buy those on iTunes or Vudu?
I wouldn't want to buy those.
So
well, but see, if you don't pay for cable.
Yeah.
Then you can rent some of them too.
Yeah, it's true.
So I just recently started listening to Frame Rate because I've made a vow to try to listen to the podcast that I've wanted to listen to and be okay getting behind in other podcasts. So I started listening to Frame Rate, and I actually started right the show that Brian cut the cord from,
oh, yeah.
from Time Warner Cable. And I guess one of the things, and we do a podcast also with a couple of other guys, Grumpy Old Men After Dark. And one of the guys has cut the cord for, I think, 3 years. And when you cut the cord and then you rent the movies, I mean, what's the monetary difference? Is it huge? Is it not? I mean,
Well, how much is your cable bill now?
Right now, it's $180.
That's including...
That's with two DVRs. That also includes our 30 meg internet as well. So
all right. Oh, okay. So how much would it be? That makes more sense. How much would it be if you just did internet? Probably like that's about 60 alone, I'm guessing.
Right. Yeah. It's like it's either between 60 or 80.
So you could probably get. I mean, they're going to say that you could probably get a deal on the internet to keep that around 50. Let's say 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
So you got $120 a month of savings. The shows that you rent are usually about $1. The shows that to buy in high def are usually about $3.
Mm-hmm.
So if you average it at about $2, that's 60 episodes you could buy a month, roughly speaking.
Yeah, and I don't even need to buy an episode. Just rent it is fine.
Right.
I think I'll be okay.
Most of the time, right?
Unless it's something good like Breaking Bad.
There are some shows that aren't available for rent, and then you just got to decide, well, do I want to just plunk it down and buy them? That's why I buy my shows on Vudu now, because that way it doesn't clutter up my hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to buy a show, I do that. And they keep it in the cloud, and you can access it from multiple services.
See, that's great.
Because they're part of the Ultraviolet thing. So you can get it from Flixster. There's a couple other minor places you can get it to from. But I feel like that's a better way to do that.
Now, have you cut the cord?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
And honestly, if it was just me, I'd probably do it. HBO is the big blocker. Right. But I would find ways somehow, I would imagine, to live with that.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah, the over-the-air stuff, we've got over-the-air antennas. I've got a simple TV. It's just convincing Eileen, my wife, that to let go and not be able to always get everything you want.
And she,
you know,
and she's
that's on the frivolous side, right? The things you really care about, we got to find ways to make sure we watch the shows that we really love. And she's like, well, sometimes we just like to have HGTV on,
right?
And just watch House Hunters for an evening,
right?
And we wouldn't be able to do that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's true. So we just have to adapt. We'd have to learn to live with
Turn
that.
On YouTube and just watch. Just have YouTube on
exactly.
TV.
Well, we got the Chromecast.
Oh, isn't it awesome?
$35. Plug it in the HDMI. She was messing with YouTube and watching on the Chromecast, and she put on Twitter, she's like, I'm so close to cutting the cord right now.
I bet you were like, yes, we're almost
isn't
there.
Go.
Chromecast was one of the, aside from the iPhone 5 and the iPhone 4, Chromecast was one of my day one purchases. It was like 5 minutes, because I was watching you all at Tech News Today on Twitter, where you guys were doing the live stream.
Yeah.
On the Google. Oh, I didn't turn my phone off.
Good job.
Oh, tiny
noob.
Tina.
Noob.
I didn't turn my phone off.
Did you take that?
It was 5 minutes after the announcement when someone in your chat room gave the link. They kept digging. They found the link and they gave it. I just went boom. I bought it. I mean, it was
$12, and I was like, I'm getting two of these right now.
And it is an amazing device. It is one. It is the best YouTube streaming device out of my Roku and my Apple TV that I have, because
we have too many devices.
The high definition on it is amazing.
We have way too many devices when you think about it. We have two DVRs, one in the front, one in the back, two Rokus. We have two Apple TVs. Two Apple TVs, a DVD player in the front and the back.
We have a Blu-ray player.
Yeah, Blu-ray player. Yeah, so I tell Jay every time he brings another device, I'm like, babe, another one to be real.
And then I built a media PC,
like,
also.
Yes, he built a media PC. So,
see, I always justify it like, well, but I'm hosting the show frame rate, so I've got to get this stuff and try it out. See,
I know. And
you can say that for our. Yeah,
I have used
it
a couple
tech.
Of times.
Yeah.
I have used it a couple of times.
I got to talk about it so somebody else can know what it's like.
No, I don't want to come off uninformed.
You know, I think for myself, I just need a reliable source for those TV shows you can't get when it's, well, you can't get the season while it's going. mainly HBO.
Yeah, HBO is the one, and they will not bring it directly to you over the internet until the economy shifts enough that cable can't afford to give them free marketing anymore.
Right.
I mean, they I honestly believe that HBO is sitting there ready to pull the trigger. They're just waiting for the timing to be right.
As soon as it happens.
What a lot of people don't realize is that HBO gets free advertising from every cable company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you see those ads for HBO on other non-HBO channels, those are from the cable company. Wow. Gratis. They just throw them in.
As soon as that happens, I'm watching all the shows on my DVR and I'm cutting the cord as soon as they do that.
Yeah. So. No, me too. And they're doing it in Scandinavia somewhere. I can't remember which countries, but they're providing a direct-to-consumer version in a place where they didn't already have a big footprint.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't jeopardizing relationships there. And right. They're always going at the Jeff Mooks, the head of Time Warner that owns not Time Warner Cable, but Time Warner that owns HBO, is always going around like, yeah, sure, you know, Game of Thrones gets pirated a lot. It's the best marketing we have.
Right.
I'm like, you're watching that. He's watching that. He's like, when that marketing gets more valuable than the free marketing as people cut the cord and there's fewer cable subscriptions,
right?
We're just gonna go straight to people.
Yeah. And
that's my guess.
And then you have Orange is the New Black and House of Cards.
Gosh, Orange is, don't even get me started. I feel like I'm getting paid by them because I talk about them so much. I tell everyone, you must watch the Orange is the New Black. Just watch it. Yes, there are boobs within the first minute, but still, just don't pay attention to that. Just watch it.
Right.
And we actually have a question from Punk Gopher: Roku, Apple TV, Chromecast, which is the best single device? If you could only afford one, which one would you get?
There's not one answer for everyone yet.
Yeah, there is
on that question. Roku is probably the widest applicable, but it doesn't have YouTube.
Right.
And it doesn't have screencasting.
Yep.
Chromecast is great if you already have like an iOS device or a laptop, because then you can take pretty much anything off of your laptop or your phone. Actually, Android phones work too. What am I saying? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be an iOS device. But if you've got a phone or a laptop, and that's the cheapest, and you can cast pretty much everything. And Netflix is native, and they're going to get more apps. That's probably the top one right now. Apple TV is better for people who live in the Apple universe.
Right.
If you've got an iOS phone and you've got an OS X laptop, you can also cast anything there. And it's really great for podcasting, and they have a YouTube channel. So it just all depends on who you are.
Right.
And one day there's going to be that one magic device that's going to combine everything.
I'm waiting for that day. I can't wait for that day.
But wouldn't that be the a media PC?
That we already
have. Yeah, except that's too complicated for a lot of
people. It is. It is complicated. I'll admit that.
And it's on the more expensive side than everything else.
Because I think for mine, when I built, I think I was able to get it under $400. And that
it's still a DIY kind of situation.
Yep.
It may not be a total maker situation,
right?
But you have to know like how to find a good cheap computer,
mm-hmm.
That has Media Center on it, how to hook up the tuner, or
right.
You know, takes a little effort. Totally worth it. Or you could put a Myth, make it into a Myth TV or Sage Box, or XBMC probably is the best these days, frankly.
Right.
But if you're like, those words mean nothing to me, then that doesn't help.
Right. I'm kind of wary of XBMC. I kind of stayed away from that, and I went with the Windows Media Center, you know.
Yeah, you can do both.
Yeah, I know. I just haven't had time to mess around with it like
that's
I wanted
the thing,
to.
Right? It's like you need that time to mess around, whereas with a Roku or Apple TV, you just plug it in and it works.
Exactly.
So that's probably a better solution for most people.
That's one of the reasons why I don't have an Android phone, because I don't feel like I have to tinker with it all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
we don't have time for that. We have stuff to watch.
Yeah, because working in tech all day, you kind of like, I just want to go home and veg.
It's like when I worked at Pizza Hut and I didn't want to eat pizza.
Oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. I worked at Taco Bell. I still love Taco Bell. I can eat Taco Bell every day of my life.
I love Taco Bell.
So good.
So I have to ask, you know, like I told you before the show, I went back and listened to the last episode of Buzz Out Loud, which you all did 1,588 shows. Well, you were there for a majority of that.
I think it was over
1,200. Oh, yeah, a huge amount that you were there for. You were asked during the "Are you into it?" part.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you remember this. You were asked.
No.
Weren't into the new Google HUD glass because it wasn't real. Now I have to ask.
Hold on. Real like actually exists?
Yeah.
Like, it's actually going to exist?
Because Tom's word, I'm not into it because it's not real.
So what did you mean by not real? Was it? It's
like
not
it,
going.
There was not around.
It I wasn't around.
Okay.
Try one. It didn't exist.
And I can get with that because you know how I am about World of Warcraft when they talk about this is what we're going to do in the future patches. And I'm like, I'm not getting excited about the changes until they're on my bar.
Yeah.
So now
by the new dances, right?
Yeah. Right, right. So now that the Google Glass is real, are you into it?
Yeah, you know, and I actually got to try one. Thankfully, Will Smith, the guy from Tested, was at Comic-Con and he let me try his on. It's cool. I want to be into it, but it's not ready yet.
Right.
And it's definitely an early adopters mess around thing, but it's a tiny little screen that hovers, you know, it's not virtual reality. It's a tiny little screen that hovers in front of your eye and the menu's a little janky. There's not as many things as you could do with it that maybe you would like it to do, but it will get there.
Right.
Like it definitely has the platform to do that.
So in about 50
years. And so
years.
I'm not worried about having to put something on my face and look geeky or anything like that.
Right.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of forecasting type thing. Do you see it as common the next 100 to 150 years or so? Do you see it being common?
No, I don't. I think it'll probably be more popular than Linux is right now.
Okay.
But less popular than smartphones.
Okay.
So, somewhere. I mean, smartphones are almost ubiquitous now.
It's a cool idea.
I think it'll be a big niche device. I think a lot of people have it, but some people are like, yeah, I don't need that. It's not, oh my gosh, it's a smartphone. I have to have it.
Right, right. And then one of the cool things that we were driving to go do a show with one of our friends yesterday, which I don't even know why I had to say that.
I don't know
which,
why.
Well, I guess plug
well, you
Ashley.
Can say, you can plug Ashley's show if you like.
She's Ashley Eats Deliciously Louisville at louisville.am, so go check it out. This episode from yesterday. But anyway, we were driving to the studio, and we got behind a truck that had a big truck, had this big old QR code on the back. And I was sitting there thinking, who's going to grab their phone and hold it up and take a picture of this QR code and, you know, while they're driving and see what that is going to take them to? And I said, that would be an awesome application for Google Glass.
Sure.
You know, I think that would... I guess, but
I guess. That's telling right there, though. Like
right.
One of the best applications you can think of is the many people who will need to scan a QR code off the back of a moving truck in front of them.
And that leads to the next question that Renee had.
Yeah, I do. And I wasn't going to talk about it, but because, all right. Who really uses QR codes on a daily basis besides Animal Crossing? I know we use those for Animal Crossing. Cut that out of your thinking.
Well, you use 3DS for that anyway.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who uses them on a daily basis?
I do.
Okay.
They're all pretty much in Silicon Valley.
Oh.
Where it's kind of a thing.
Okay, so it's a thing.
And it becomes common. It becomes more common.
Well, but I did kind of.
When I see QR codes in the wild, I rarely see anyone scanning them.
Now, I did scan the one at Panera so that I can get their hidden menu. Because
but that's
because
you knew you're going to get something
free
or something.
No, I didn't get anything free.
Not free, but you're going to get, you were getting something out of it. It wasn't just for, hey, I just want some basic info.
Right.
Like, hey, I wonder, you know, where that store is or what their hours are or what their code of creed is. It's, I don't know. I thought it was kind of janky when it first came out because I was like, no one's going to scan that. But apparently they use them because they're still around.
Yeah.
And I just seem as like... big plaster on billboards. I just think it looks kind of cheap.
Well, it's because everybody has smartphones. And so when the guy that wants to do the QR code goes into his boss and says, I got this great pitch. We're going to put these codes up. And then people with their smartphones, you know, all the kids have smartphones and they're going to scan it. And it sounds impressive. And so they green light it. But I bet the usage is very low.
Oh, yeah.
It's a patch, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to have augmented reality where we just look at something and it says, that's Panera. You know, link twice for the hidden menu.
Right.
You need a QR code.
Right. So my last question within tech here, in your entire career as a technology journalist, what is the one item or innovation that has stood out for you and to you has changed the face of technology?
Well, the internet.
Why didn't you say besides the internet, Jack?
Right? Say
besides the internet.
I gave you these notes, lady.
Well, I didn't think that I would have to read. I didn't think I would have to look at them like that. Okay. Besides the internet.
Or the iPhone.
I finished up the
question. No, that's fair. That's totally fair.
Well, you know what? I'll leave the iPhone out there just in case.
I honestly think it's probably the smartphone right now.
Because, I like how you said the smartphone and not just the iPhone.
Yeah, that's valid.
Well, and the iPhone definitely started the push, right? But the idea that I can have this computer in my hand with an internet connection anywhere I go. If you had told 1997 me that that was possible, I would have, like, my head would have exploded. Yeah, I remember going on vacation even in, like, 2001. And 2000 and having to find an internet cafe to go check my Yahoo mail, right?
Yeah. I remember Yahoo.
You did not have Wi-Fi anywhere.
Right.
You rarely even had internet at hotels with Ethernet.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we now are like, oh yeah, I'm sitting at dinner and I'm like, what? Hey Becca, what's the name of that HDMI to DisplayPort converter again? I'm gonna buy that on Amazon right now.
Right.
Or you know, I can check some mail and get some work done while I'm waiting in the dentist's office and approve some blog posts and write some stuff. Like it's crazy.
It's so great.
Or I'm sitting at Target and I'm looking at this this item and I'm like, let's see what the price of that is on Amazon.
Oh yeah,
you go check real quick. Oh, I just ordered it right there and walked right out of Target and didn't have to buy anything.
Amazon has been amazing. Their transformation has been amazing. They were books,
and that's it. World's biggest bookstore.
Just books, and then they became this thing where you can buy Chi Chi's corn cake mix and deliver it right to my door. If you've never had Chi Chi's corn cake mix, it is amazing.
Yeah,
but
what did I buy? Jaffa cakes.
Amazon. Some of those. Yeah, we got them sent to us.
Yeah, we
actually
have some.
From somebody in Australia.
Yep.
Sent us some, and those are freaking amazing.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, you can buy them on Amazon. You can buy anything on Amazon. Has become my search engine for prices too.
Yes.
Like how much does that cost? Not when I'm shopping for the best price necessarily, but when I'm like, I just want to know like what's the retail price, what's the list price on something. I always go to Amazon.
Right. Well, cool. Well, with that, let's go ahead and jump right into some. See, I need to take some Tom Segway classes.
You do Tom Segway class. That would be good for the next spectacular. Have a mini Segway.
Yeah,
class.
We need to, you need to do that at the podcasting track at a panel.
A
or
panel
something.
On Segway.
Because you are the king of Segway. You are the Segway master, man. So.
When you say that, it makes me think of the Segway that.
Well, that's
that
because you were on the marketing. Community.
I was. I actually did marketing, like real world marketing, when I was in college.
Before it came out.
Yeah. When the Segway first came out, I actually helped them do focus groups and
nice.
Market research. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, little known fact about me.
All right.
Media. Movies, books, comics, TV.
Too long.
It's not too long.
Every time I hear it, it's too long.
It is not.
Tell me to tell him that's a sketch too long. It's like the sausage with Veronica that Scott plays. It's like, you think it's going to end?
That's just disturbing.
Yeah.
Maybe two exits. See how it plays.
Oh, yeah. Two exits. I am up to your level now, Tom, on podcasting listening speed. I am 3X.
I am
3X-ing now.
And it's so funny, especially with video. I watched frame rate on 3X. It is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
Like crazy people.
Yes, it's great.
Yep, I was watching it on video today, and I got my LTE warning that said I was about to go over 5 megs on my LTE.
And then you just laugh because your grandfather didn't.
Yeah.
So so I'm going to talk about something that I haven't seen yet, which is totally unprofessional. But have you seen the new Jobs trailer?
I've seen the trailer, yeah.
You've seen the trailer. I was going to watch it before this, but I got distracted by a fashion web blog. But is it good? And I'm going to watch it right after this, but... I remember you saying that you were, it was
Ashton Kutcher
in, this was 2012.
2012.
And you were like, that sounds just kind of wonky. How do you feel about it?
I was worried at the time that it was going to be like Pirates of Silicon Valley, which classic, but sometimes for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
Anthony Michael Hall as Bill Gates, right? but I have to say, Ashton Kutcher seems in the trailer anyway to be pretty Jobs-like.
Hmm.
It doesn't seem to me that any of the other people that are in there are very Jobs. They have Kotke, they have Wozniak, of course, John Scully in the trailer. They all look like,
They don't look like, you know, geeks or anything. They just look like Hollywood types.
Well, they look like bad, like somebody dressed up cosplay.
Oh.
I forgot.
Cosplay Daniel Kotke and cosplay Steve Wozniak.
That's
and
horrible.
They didn't quite fit the parallel, but they have all the right things on.
Right.
So, there's something off about it. But at the same time, it made me want to go see it. It made me enough to say, okay, they seem to be hitting on all the right storylines.
Right.
That I'm interested in when I think about Steve Jobs' life. So,
I think the funniest part of that was when I can't remember the two guys, but one of them said they want Jack Black to be Wozniak.
That would be great.
And then they wanted Keanu Reeves to play
the older Steve Jobs.
That was from The Last Buzz Out Loud as well.
I can't remember who said it, but it was funny.
I died laughing.
Keanu Reeves.
Right.
So yeah, I'll be watching that. I'll give it.
I know C++.
That would be great. So yeah, I'll go see it. I'm not a big Apple person. My first introduction to Apple, I wasn't a really nerd or geek or anything until I got older, but I had an iMac, you know, the pretty ones.
Right.
I had a blue one. And I took it back. I'll tell you why. Within the first week. You know why? Because I couldn't play the games I wanted to play on it. This is when they didn't have a lot of games for it. And I was like, why do I have this? It's like, I want to play games. So
right.
I got a Gateway, which was a wreck, but I was able to play games on it.
Right.
So, and I mean, I love my iPhone, but I don't want, okay, I know people love this. I can't do the one button mouse. It burns me up inside. I'm like, I don't want to use the control. I want to have it all in one hand. So I don't know. It burns me up. I don't know why. But anyway, that's so off topic. I want to talk about our guilty pleasures. I have guilty pleasures in TV. Mm-hmm. This is mainly TV because, you know, games is fine. But TV, my guilty pleasure, I have several that I call the TV that I probably could live without. I love my America's Next Top Model. This is the worst show on TV. I will admit, this is horrible. It's been going for 19 seasons, and it's campy, it's stupid, but I can't stop watching it, and I don't know why.
And they always find a gimmick to make
the gimmick
you
is always
watch it.
Stupid. So now it's boys versus girls. So now they put a whole bunch of hot girls and a whole bunch of hot guys in a house. What do you think is gonna happen? So
real
that's my
world.
Just a lot of pinochle and. Salad making.
Shuffleboard.
Salad making.
Shuffleboard.
So that's my guilty pleasure. What's your guilty pleasure, Jay? I want to know what you think your guilty pleasure is.
My guilty pleasure in TV?
You can do games if you
want
to.
My guilty pleasure in TV are the the shows like auction shows, like Storage Wars and the Kentucky. What's the one they didn't?
The Kentucky Bitters?
Yeah, the Kentucky Bitters. Stuff like that. That's my... And then also, it used to be Pawn Stars. And I don't know. I think they kind of went...
It got formulaic.
It got very formulated. So those were my guilty pleasures.
Everybody has some that they, you know, like, I shouldn't like this, but I do. Tom, what is your guilty pleasure?
See, I want to sound all highfalutin and say like, well, Top Chef Masters, but that's not even that bad of a show, right?
Right.
Like, that's actually
not.
Respected by chefs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Michelin star chefs competing in it. So I feel like probably the worst thing that I enjoy watching on TV is Love It or List It on HGTV.
Stupid-ass
show. But when we were all stressed out moving,
right.
That and House Hunters would be, we would just turn it on and just, you know, I mentioned it, I alluded to it earlier. We would just turn it on and turn our brains off.
Yes.
Because it has just enough plot in every storyline, every of those realities to keep you interested, but you don't have to think hard about it.
Right. And it's like, and then you're like, are they going to take the first house, second house, third house? And you're debating between the commercial break.
Like I'm actually talking to Jay. What do you think they're going to do? I don't know. What do you think they're going to do?
Oh, yeah. We do the same thing. We totally do. That's why I say Love It or List It, because House Hunters at least has three things. Love It or List It, it's like all predetermined. You right. know this.
Right.
There's only two choices: stay in your own house or move to a new house.
Right.
So it's like the dead simplest of the HGTV shows.
It's so funny. Yeah. I think it's good to turn our minds off sometimes. All our TV doesn't have to be, you know, highly intelligent right. that makes you think all the time.
Yeah. And House Hunters is like Jersey Shore, and it's like. The reason I say that is that because when you're watching it, and if they're doing like back to back to back to back, it's like, okay, this is my last one. And they say, okay, they chose the third house. And then
Jersey Shore makes me hurt.
Aww,
like the Hills, Jersey Shore, Laguna Beach, all those shows, when Eileen would watch them, she actually never really watched Jersey Shore. I think she just tried it one time.
Right.
But the Hills and Laguna Beach, the OC, all of those shows. I'd watch a little. I'm like, I can't be in the room with this right
Jersey
now.
Jersey Shore, I was like,
all the people on TV.
I was like, they're all cartoon characters, which made me be able to watch it. I'm like, they're not even real. There's no way people are real.
Maybe
so,
that would have got me through.
I felt like I was watching a cartoon.
Wish I'd had that advice. So.
Right. and the way that they cut the commercial is like, they start playing the first episode, you know, before the half an hour mark to keep you you there.
They like hook you.
It's like. Oh, I can't go.
It's almost like Judge Judy. I freaking love Judge Judy.
Yeah, Judge Judy.
I should have said her.
Judge Judy is a good pleasure.
I will drop all shows for Judge Judy. All right. So we watched Breaking Bad. Have you watched the new episode of Breaking Bad yet?
I'm
not
going to
spoil
yes.
anything. Sorry. Hey, no spoilers. But were you happy with it? Happy in the direction they're going?
I was. Oh. I was happy. I wasn't sure it was going to be. Partway through, I felt like maybe it was
just
moving a little slow.
It wasn't just me, okay.
The end, it really picked up.
And then at the end, I was like, oh no, this is not moving slow at all.
Yeah.
This is all leading to, they're just, it's going to be a flat out sprint now.
And
for these last seven episodes.
Did you also watch The Talking Bad that was after their new show?
I feel bad, Chris Hardwick. I'm sorry, but no.
No, yeah. So it was so cute because it had Chris Hardwick, of course. It had Julie Bowen, the mom from Modern Family.
Huge yeah. fan.
She is such a huge Breaking Bad fan. It was hilarious. She was like all over
Vince Gilligan,
really?
Yep. She was like all up in his face saying, I think you should do this. And it was,
And at one point she said, like, I will come work for you. Get rid of Skyler and I'll come work for you.
Like, you could tell it was almost like she was pumped up because she was almost like, she is the hugest Breaking Bad fan. And it was funny just seeing her like go nuts over Breaking
Bad. Vince Gilligan's like, we already wrapped shooting.
Yeah. Like, right. Hey, we're already
more Skylers.
And she was like she would stare at him. Trying to figure out what he meant by every word. It was a little creepy because the way she would just.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of
crazy eyes too.
Oh, she does have crazy eyes.
She does.
She has
so,
those mom eyes.
It was
like,
so yeah. funny. So if you get a chance to watch a little bit of it, it's
all right. Yeah,
funny.
I'll try to go take a look.
So yeah, they're gonna have those every show. I don't know.
Yeah, they did that with
Walking Dead.
Talking Dead.
Yeah,
yep. After actually, Walking Dead, it ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, they actually expanded it from half an hour to an hour. It was so popular, so.
Yep.
We also watched The Talking Dead. And I want to talk about some books I'm reading because I go in stages with my media. I have a problem, Tom. I love games, books, TV, and movies. You can't do everything. You can't.
I have the same problem.
So I go in stages where I play a ton of games and then my reading kind of slacks off, or I watch a ton of TV. And so right now I'm getting back into my reading kick and I just finished part one of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I started reading it and I loved it immediately. I loved the movie because the best part about me watching the movie is that I see Most Deaf is Ford, which I love because I love Most Deaf. So it's like, it's great. And I see freaking Bilbo as Arthur. And uh-huh. I really love it because do you know what it reminded me of when I started reading it?
What?
Discworld series.
Oh, the yeah, way, I've heard that comparison before.
Yeah, it's just good. Stuff happens out of nowhere. And it's so great. And I love how the narrator kind of comes in and just says things. And I blew through it. I'm now into the second part of the book. And I'm really loving it. And this is one of my things that should get my geek cred taken away that I've never read it before. But I'm really enjoying it. And I should have read it a long time ago. I don't know why I didn't. I think because... I don't know what I was reading a ton of other stuff.
They were reading a ton of other stuff.
That's my problem.
You're doing
so,
your fantasy. You're doing a fantasy kick.
So, yeah. So, I haven't watched Sword and Laser recently because I think, I remember I got into it and then I got into my gaming kick and I fell off of the Sword and Laser boat.
You don't have to be reading to take part in Sword and Laser.
Yeah. Well, see, that's my problem. I can't hear about anything that I haven't seen or read yet.
Because she doesn't want to be spoiled.
I have a problem.
We section off any spoilers. We like let you know.
But I don't want to know anything.
Well, most of the shows are not spoilery.
I don't want to know the person's name. This is my problem.
Author's name?
I know. No, well, no, the no. Character, the characters. This is my own personal problem.
Yeah, this is Renee's name.
I know this.
But I'm just saying, we have a whole section on news.
See
and,
the news.
And things
with
just feedback on general like thoughts about reading.
Yeah, okay.
Before we get to the part that might actually say the name of it.
See, and you can stop there.
But then I can't leave a podcast half finished
because it's not finished, and the right, circle and downcast is
halfway.
The circle
will stay there. It'll the circle say will partially be unplayed. I'm like partially, and then I have to go read the book, and it's a vicious cycle. I can't do it. So, what book are you all focusing on? Is it Sword or Laser right now?
It's Sword right now. Curse of Chalion by Lois McMaster Bujold is the book, and it is fun to read. I'm really
Sword.
Enjoying this. We got to meet her at BayCon in San Jose in May because she was the guest of honor and Veronica got to interview her. And then we had her on an episode of Sword and Laser as well. So she's a really nice person and her book sounded fascinating. And now that we're actually reading one, I want to go meet her again because I'm like, oh my God, now I have so many questions to ask you about Curse of Chalion.
Huh. That's awesome.
And I have to admit, don't feel bad, but Sword is my favorite. I have a special place in my heart for fantasy.
Okay.
Even though I love Laser.
None of those could be perfect.
Yeah. So. Right.
I'm reading two fantasy. I'm reading two swords right now because I'm reading Curse of Chalion, and then I'm also reading Saladin Ahmed, Throne of the Crescent Moon.
Okay.
Which is a fantasy, but instead of fantasy set in a medieval world based on medieval Europe, it's a fantasy set in a medieval world based on medieval Islam. So there's a caliph, and it's an alternate world, right? It's all made up. But it's all with that kind of Islamic background, that Middle Eastern feel and culture informing all of the metaphors. Really cool book.
Have you ever read a book that's both Sword and Laser and you can't put it in one of the other categories?
Yeah, we try to do that. We actually try to find those from time to time. Cloud Atlas was one like that.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't sure if it really was. It wasn't. There were definitely sci-fi stories in Cloud Atlas, but there was also a fantasy element to it because of the ties through everything. We've had a few books like that where we feel like, yeah, this is definitely Sword and Laser. That was another reason we picked Lois McMaster Bujold, because if you get really into her writing, her most popular series is science fiction, Captain Vorkosigan's saga. But she also writes fantasy.
See, I love the people that can go both worlds.
So
yeah.
I'm sorry. We had a question from the chat room.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was going to talk about this. So go.
So Diddy from the chat room asked, are you guys excited for the Ender Game movie? It's one of his it's one of his favorite series.
I'm more scared than I'm scared that they're going to mess it all up.
Yeah.
You get one shot at Ender's Game. You get one shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of hope that they do well. Like Hunger Games did well. There were some
well enough.
There were some things about Hunger Games that were left
I'll
out.
Accept
it was kind of like, okay. But with Ender Game, I'm a little worried myself because that is one of the books that once I finished reading, it messed me up for like a week. I couldn't read anything else because I was just like,
you kept going back and thinking about it.
I just kept going back and thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I just hope, I worry that the movie won't do that.
So Tom, do you think that they're going to do the ending justice? Or do you think that they're going to do it?
That's why I'm worried. I mean, Harrison Ford usually doesn't make a bad movie.
Right.
Usually. So it should be. So, that's a good sign, right? But he has made bad movies.
Okay, I was going to say, how many?
Like, made the kids older.
Yeah, the kids are older, and I guess they did that for, because people couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they kind of did that with Hunger Games, too.
It makes me wonder what other things
they've changed.
Yeah, and
Hunger Games, they made them older, but it didn't strike me so much when I saw it. I was like, I could believe that's Katniss. Sure, why not? But in Ender's Game, I'm like, that is definitely not what what I pictured Ender, right? Because he's supposed to be six.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I know that's maybe not practical to get a six-year-old to play Ender. I get that.
Right. But yeah, but it would have been so cool.
But yeah, get somebody like Webster. You know,
that was yeah. There are tons of
what's his name
10-year-olds that look six. So let's you know, you could so do it that way,
right?
Yeah, but yeah, so do it right, and they won't have any problems. Do it wrong, and I'll be on their doorstep with the shiv.
Right.
So,
I'm hoping it's
doorstep of the shiv.
Yeah.
What's been your favorite book that you've read?
That's a broad question.
As far as Sword and Laser.
Okay.
I wouldn't have read otherwise. Definitely Scott Lynch, The Lies of Locke Lamora.
Okay.
And that's no disrespect to Scott Lynch.
Right.
I'd heard about him, and he was somebody I was interested in reading, but it just, from what I'd heard, didn't make it as high on my priority list as other things.
Right.
When Veronica picked that as the sword, and that's what this whole book club is for, is getting people exposed to the other side, right?
Right.
So if you're a science fiction fan, showing you that there's great fantasy, and vice versa, if you're a fantasy fan, showing you that there's great science fiction, I was blown away by that book, especially because it fit the pattern of fantasy, but it blew it away. It just played with the form of fantasy so well. And I've read so many of them now that I'm like, all right, we're going to the inn, and now we're going to get the challenge, and now we're going on the journey, and now we meet the monster, and like, Lies of Locke Lamora just turns all of that on its head.
Huh.
The characters are so inventive and so deep and real, and no one's safe, right? That's the other thing about George R. R. Martin that everybody loves. They hate that he kills your favorite character, but it's what makes it so interesting.
I love it.
You don't sit there going, well, I know he's going to survive, because you never know.
My favorite character is going to die, and I've come to accept that. So, you know, she's already dead in my mind. So if I do it that way, it's okay.
Dead character walking.
Right.
Dead character walking.
And not only are you a reader of books, but you yourself have authored a book.
You have.
Named Bowling Point.
I mean, how does that feel to be an author, a published author?
Yeah, it's amazing when you can go online and upload anything and call yourself an author. Pretty cool.
But I think it's pretty cool, though. I have it on my Kindle. I honestly say I haven't finished it, but I'm excited to finish it. And
I actually had forgotten that you had wrote this book.
I remember him talking about it.
I remember him. And then when I was doing my research, I was like, oh, that is right. He did write a book.
I wish.
United Moon Colonies, I feel like, is a little better than Boiling Point.
Mm-hmm.
Boiling Point I wrote in the 90s. It took me a long time. It's my first effort.
Mm-hmm.
I was in love with the concept a little too much. United Moon Colonies was something I wrote for National Novel Writing Month.
Oh,
it's still pretty rough. I would still never send it to a publisher, but I had fun with it. And I feel like it's a better story. And I've got another one that I'm going to put out hopefully by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's another sci-fi story called Lot Beta. And that one I feel like almost is good.
It's great. I have so many ideas in my head, and I would love, because I used to write when I was younger. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to do the National Writing Month.
That's what drives me forward, because every year, National Novel Writing Month, I've actually got two other books just sitting on my hard drive waiting to be polished. I will go and I'll have these stories in my head, and I'll just bang them out over those 30 days. And the point of National Novel Writing Month is you don't think about it too much. You don't put it off. You don't procrastinate. You just get it out of your head and get it on paper. And then what I've done, both with United Moon Colonies and Lot Beta, is I set a schedule that every day I work on them a little bit, just to go through. And I do two passes, one to fix like large grammatical errors and another to just smooth out the thing, and then I give them to an editor to actually do a full edit on, and then I self-publish them.
Huh.
That's awesome.
And where can they find these?
Meritbooks.squarespace.com.
There you go. Go check them out.
Yep.
And they're available in multiple locations like Barnes & Noble, iTunes. I've submitted to the Google Play Store, but that apparently takes forever to get approved. But there's also free versions, PDFs that you can get from archive.org. It's Creative Commons.
All right. You see meritbooks.squarespace.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And is that, do you have anything else?
I want to talk about some food.
You want to talk about some food?
We didn't talk about this on Monday, so let's talk about some food.
All right.
The fridge is not prepared.
So I want to talk about some food. I want to talk about food in California because I have to admit, I'm the only one in my family who's never been to California besides Jay. So is it really all avocados in California? Like they make us believe out here.
Yeah, everything.
You go everything. Buy pork chops, yeah. They're actually avocados.
Everything in California, they just put avocados and call it California
style. That's what they do out here. Every sandwich that says California, they just put avocados on it.
That's like putting cheese on something and saying, it's Wisconsin stuff.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So
no, not everything. There are good avocados out here. That part is not a lie. But I don't run into them all that often,
right,
frankly.
Do you go out to eat much, or do you are you more of a cook-in type?
We go out to eat a lot. But just in the past 2-3 weeks, I've started cooking.
Ah.
Well, like so more tell than us what once you've been cooking, because that's what we like to hear about. What
that's
have you
awesome.
Been cooking?
So
today I just took 2 pork chops and made a garlic ginger rub, and they're sitting in the fridge, and I'm going to pan fry them when Eileen gets home.
That sounds awesome. Make it, Jay. Make it happen.
I might need to get that.
I can send you the recipe.
Yeah, I'm going to get that recipe from you.
I got it off
simplyrecipes.com or something.
Yeah, yep. I love to cook, and I go in stages, and we're in a cooking stage now, so that's great.
We're in such of a huge cooking stage that on Saturday we went and got a second crock pot so we can cook 2 crock pot meals at once.
2.
Nice.
Because sometimes, you know, you don't feel like cooking, but you want to eat well. So
right.
You have a crock pot meal right there. And
I've been
so
making a lot of stews for that just so I have it for my lunches and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the ones we made, we talked about this on Monday, but we made Cajun
shrimp and rice. Yep.
It's really good.
It was really good. I finished that off today.
Yeah. But the best thing we made, I like this one the best. It was
red beans.
Red beans and over Spanish rice. And it had pork loin in it.
Right.
And this is the most amazing recipe.
That one took 12 hours.
It took 12 hours. So the pork, you didn't even need to chew it. You just gummed it and it freaking fell apart in your mouth. And this was so good. I can't explain to you how good it was. And so, yeah, it was, and it's gone now. And I think I'm about to tear up.
I left you some.
I'm going to have some beans and rice. Sorry.
Or whenever you have
it. So unprofessional. So I love the slow cooker because we work away from home. And so we just throw all the stuff in the crock pot. We come home, we have a meal. And it's great. And you can make a lot of things in the crock pot. I'm finding you can make lasagna in the crock pot, which turned out okay, weirdly.
Really?
Yeah.
I made lasagna Monday.
I do. I love lasagna. I like pasta.
There's a crock pot lasagna you should try out sometime.
Yeah, it's good.
It's amazing.
You just throw all the ingredients in. I mean, of course, you have to cook the meat and everything.
It depends how you like your lasagna.
It's true.
If you like your lasagna when you cut it out and you like it in the perfect square, you know, then you don't want to do the crock pot lasagna.
Yeah.
Right, because it's not going to have the right shape.
Right. Now, if you just like... If you just want all the ingredients,
it's great.
It's great.
Yeah. So crock pots are great, and I'm glad we have 2. And we talked about this already, but I'll tell you, we also made a chocolate cake from scratch. I've never made a cake from scratch before.
Not like instead of a box
yes.
with the mixings.
Yep. Everything was from scratch.
Totally
the frosting was from scratch even. Yep.
Wow.
And it was really good. It was so good. And I was so proud of me that I didn't mess it up.
And it's funny because Renee... She's never really had a cake made from scratch. Like, you know, all your birthday cakes were
box cakes.
And my grandmother, she was the cake maker of my town. She would make the wedding cakes and everything else for people. So I was so used to always having, you know, made from scratch cake. And when we finished the cake, Renee was like, man, this cake is very dense.
It's dense, but it was moist.
It was very moist. Yeah.
See, I'm not afraid of the word moist.
Now you have a reason why not to be.
I have power over the word moist. Sorry, that was my word that I just couldn't stand.
It's conquered your fear.
I've conquered my fear. The word is still horrible, but I will say it without problem. So so we love food. So what is your comfort food?
Lasagna is definitely one.
Lasagna is it?
Like I said, I made a beef and spinach lasagna earlier this week. Ooh. And that's something I definitely love. And macaroni and cheese.
Do you do the baked macaroni and cheese or do you do like the cheesy noodle type macaroni and cheese? Because there's 2 types.
We do both, but my favorite is the baked. Mm. Where you get that nice thick crust of cheese over the top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mom makes a mean macaroni and cheese. Just ask Jeff. He has the recipe, and he makes it all the time. It's funny.
Definitely, definitely.
So yeah, so I love my food. Since we've been losing weight, we don't do food like we used to. We used to just eat whatever we wanted, right, whenever we wanted. Now we have to pick and choose, but I still love to eat my stuff that's not so good for me.
That's what got me cooking was I read The Foodist by Daria Rose, mm-hmm, and her whole thing is about how to actually have good nutrition, not do some kind of fad diet that's just going to have you put the pounds back on later,
right,
and still be able to eat things you love that taste good.
Oh, yeah, and that's the one thing that we've learned, you know, since we had started doing the whole Lose It thing, you know, starting last year. I mean, that's just, you know, one thing that we've always, you know, we cooked before that, but it was more just we cooked because it was good. But now we're cooking because, you know, like you said, that's a huge part of getting healthy.
Even though I love to go out to eat because I used to be a server. So going out to eat, it's
a treat now.
It's a treat to go out to eat. I'm like, I'm sitting here and I don't have to be the one, you know. Right. Hearing you complain that your steak isn't done enough, you know,
right?
So
it's too red, Tom.
Yeah, like, oh, the steak has this tiny bit of pink. I'm gonna die. Bring me another steak. I'm like, no, you're not gonna die.
Is that what you like, JJ?
No. He's a good dinner companion.
And unless I say the meal is fine, and then,
we have a miscommunication about the word fine. And he thinks fine means it's really, really good.
And also the word sure.
Sure. In my family, sure means yes. Like if someone says, hey, do you want to go out for drinks? And you say sure. Sure. Right? Yeah.
That means yes.
In my family, sure meant, I really don't want to, okay, but
it was a signal.
Yeah.
Like you could talk me into it, but I really don't want to.
Right.
So my family would always say sure to things, and he thought that no one ever wanted to do anything with him or everybody. I'm like, no.
They hate me. That's do you like me? Sure.
No.
Our family sure meant yes, but it was always sure. Whereas if you were doing it the way JJ thinks, it would be like, sure.
Sure.
There's a tonal difference. Right.
Yeah, but Jay, there's a tonal difference. He's just. And he says fine. Like when someone says that your meal was fine, I think it was mediocre. It was a C grade, right? It was a C plus. Jay thinks it means it was a B plus A. And I'm like, when you say my meal is fine, I'm like, what is like wrong with it? And then Jay was like, well, it means, you know, if I say you're fine, I'm like, no. It's not the same way you say to a woman. It's not the same thing. So.
That lasagna was fine.
It was fine. I'm like, that sounds just odd and weird and a fetish. So that sounds bad. So, yeah, but I love to cook. I love it. It's fun.
Yep.
And when I flop hard and I just throw it away and go on to the next.
All right. So with that ending the food, we're going to go ahead and we don't have really any odds and ends or anything like that. But we're going to go ahead and talk about our pick of the week.
Yes.
And then after our pick of the week, Tom, we want to just invite you to just promote yourself.
I thought you were going to say self-flagellate. That would have been bad. I don't know why I thought you were going to say that. That was so weird.
You know that's not in my vocab.
What's our pick of the week, Jay?
Oh, our pick of the week is Frame Rate with Tom Merritt and Brian Bushwood.
I love that show. Like, I just started listening to it, and I'm like, why haven't I been listening to this?
So
good. I'm glad you guys are liking it.
Yeah. You can find them at twit.tv/FR, and you can also find them on iTunes as well as Stitcher, right?
Yeah, Downcast, Stitcher,
all that stuff.
Pocket Cast, all those places.
Okay, cool. But yeah, check them out. It's a podcast, again, about media, streaming, you know, movies, TV shows.
And you say Brian with Brian Brushwood, right? You said that,
I did say Brian Brushwood.
All right. I'm just making sure you're...
Yeah, but he's been missing lately.
He's gone all Hollywood on me.
Oh, someone needs to send out search dogs.
I know he's looking for a Honda. That's all I know.
He's blowing up cars and shutting down highways. He's doing crazy stuff.
Oh,
right now.
He's doing big time stuff.
Hey, if you ever need a guest on, man, you know, feel free to hit me up sometime.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked that.
Why not?
Because you know, that's just me.
And then tell Eileen I said thank you again for tweeting Lamar Wilson for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Because
Lamar Wilson for what?
Because I said I was a huge fan of his. I was like, can you tweet him and tell him that I'm a huge fan?
That is so funny. I can't believe you did that.
If it makes you feel any better, Jay, Lamar saw Eileen one day and was like, you know, I'd love to be a guest on one of Tom's shows sometime.
I know.
And I'm like, why didn't you just ask me? And of course we had him on.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Lamar is awesome, man.
He is funny. So I started, Jay introduced me to him.
Yeah, before I have you, I did have one question for you in within the tech news arena. African Americans, you know, that's one of the reasons I found Lamar. I was trying to find some, you know, tech journalists that were African American. Can you name some more that you may know?
What if he doesn't know any? You put him on the spot.
Oh, I did kind of put you on the spot.
Eric Franklin.
See, bam. Take that.
He's great.
Who?
Eric Franklin.
Okay.
He's a great reviewer. We have him on Tech News, too. Actually, we just had him on a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
David Stevenson was a tech TV reporter who, last time I checked, was still working for Fox in San Francisco as their tech reporter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's worth looking up. Trying to think, you know, one of the things about internet journalism is a lot of these people are just names to me. I have no idea.
Right.
What race, ethnicity, you know, how attractive they are. Anything,
right. Exactly.
You know, or anything like that.
Those
are the two that popped to mind right off the top.
Okay. No,
Michaela Pereira would be one too, but she is not doing tech anymore. She's now, I believe it's CNN.
Oh, wow.
Doing like an anchor job.
Okay. No, that was just one of the things that I had thought about because, you know, I know a lot of women in tech. I know a lot of, you know, other tech journalists of color that aren't. But I've lacked finding, you know, any of African-American persuasion. It was just one of the things that I thought I would ask. And, you know, and I know
it's one of those classic questions of like, why are there not more African Americans in X?
Well, partly too. I mean, if you can look at my, you know, Renee and I both are in tech and we work in IT. I mean, you can look at our department and.
Yeah. I'm the only black female developer in the entire company.
She is.
The only one. And there are only four female developers in the entire company. So.
And in my department.
I'm used to it.
So in my department, we have like 100, 200. But then in the bigger department, it's like 500, but it's, you know, I think we're not even 20%, not even 10%, maybe.
It's just a matter of getting it out. I think, you know, it'll take time.
Oh, yeah. It will. But minorities is 32% of African Americans do work at Humana.
Yeah.
So, which is a huge number, actually, good. You know. So,
good. Look at you pimping Humana.
Well, no. No.
Oh, and I want you all to congratulate Jay today. It is his 5-year anniversary with Humana. Yay. And not only that, he got picked to do
they're
going to
do a story on me.
A story on
about
him.
Tom, you love your job, right? And it's, for the most part, you love your job, and it's because you enjoy going to work and you enjoy what you're doing. And you enjoy the people that you work with, which makes everything. And for me, that's my team. It's like, I enjoy going to work because my team, you know, is a team that I enjoy working with. They're almost like family.
I even love your team, and I don't even work with them.
Right. So I mean, it's just one of the beauties out there.
And he's really good at his job. I'm very proud of him.
You are
too. I want to pimp him. What? No, I'm pimping you. You can't pimp me when I'm pimping you. That's not how pimping goes. Speaking of pimping, Tom, would you like to pimp yourself out to our chat room and all of our listeners?
Sure. I'm available for hire. Just send me an email. No, Tom Merritt, TomMerritt.com. is my website that has all of the things that I do. And we've mentioned pretty much almost all the shows that I do. I know we mentioned Molly Wood, and I do a show with her called It's a Thing Now.
Yes, I forgot to mention that.
We put out seasonally. So we put out 12 episodes at a time. It won't be out all the time. But right now we just kicked off season 2. So we'll have another 10 episodes or so coming, maybe 9. I think we just put out episode 3, actually. But that's out there. I'll be starting another season of Autopilot with Scott Johnson soon. Yay. Where we talk about TV show pilots. And the 10-state comic that Len Peralta and I did a Kickstarter for, we're almost done with our 5-issue run, and we have submitted it to Comixology. So I'm crossing my fingers that maybe by the end of August, Comixology will have signed off on that.
Awesome.
And we'll be able to have anybody, whether they back the Kickstarter or not, be able to read it.
Okay, cool. And you were talking about It's a Thing. I totally forgot to mention that. And on episode 11, you kind of talked about some after-school tutoring you do. And Aww. That's where you learned about Slender Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so, I haven't even played it yet.
Right. So I have to ask, I'm not going to ask, have you played Slender Man yet?
Okay.
But I want to ask, have there been other things that you have learned while you've been giving back to the community?
Definitely. I learn all kinds of things from those kids, even if it's just perspectives
mm-hmm.
on the way the world works. Or, you know, I was helping one of them try to get apps onto his iPod Touch.
Right.
He had inherited from like an older brother, and he wanted to like, how do I get music on here? So I was like, okay, here's, be careful, don't use bad stuff, but here's some things to go.
Right.
And I was like, wow, you know, I never thought of that particular problem. Like, how do I get music when all I have is the iPod Touch? I don't have a computer.
Right.
I need to use the Wi-Fi at the tutoring place. It's never ending. I haven't been doing it lately because I've been so busy, and it's also been summer, so the kids have been out of school.
Right.
Kids are great like that. But if you ever do want to laugh.
Whoops, sorry.
Jay's having tech issues over there. If you ever want to laugh, go and watch Jay play Slender Man, Tom. It is
the hilarious thing.
Well, it wasn't as good as it wasn't as good as Scott's though.
Scott was probably
braved it better than I did.
Yeah, Jay's video was like 10 minutes, and he played a total of like maybe 2 minutes of Slender Man.
It was horrible.
Because most of the time he paused it and just sat there.
Well, no, I couldn't pause.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I could pause, and when I paused, it actually started over, and I was like, heck no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I haven't played it, I think. And plus, that thing is the whole Slender Man thing is all over with, so I don't have to play it anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of passed now, I guess.
So,
yes. You're right.
But we've loved having you on. Thank you for coming on, and I'll be watching more of you. I feel like I'll be stalking you.
Yeah, please do.
Watching you, so...
But yeah.
No, thanks for having me on. This was great. This was good fun.
Good.
I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. But you're welcome to come on anytime you want. So.
Right.
Awesome.
Chat room, thanks for being here.
I know.
Being so supportive.
Buxley came in, by the way.
He did?
Yes. Hi, Buxley. And a few other people came in, and I'm going to miss some crap. Sorry, people I missed.
All right. Well, cool. You all have a great week. And again, we have Kim Price on Saturday night.
Yep.
7:30 p.m.
So if you all are available.
So if you're around, don't feel pressured. We'll be doing another live show with Kim Price. But as always, thanks again, Tom. Thanks so much.
Right. You betcha. Thank you, guys.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.